greetings and welcome in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Placerville, California. Good morning, and we welcome you to our morning worship. The call to worship this morning comes from the book of Psalms, and Psalm number 93, and verses 1 and 2. Let us hear God's word. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Amen. And thus far, the reading of God's holy word. And now we are going to sing to God's praise the hymn, Before Thee, God, Who Knowest All. Let us all sing to God's praise. And now let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty and eternal God, we bow down again before you this morning. We confess with the psalmist that you are the one who rules and reigns from the glorious majesty of your throne in heaven above, that you are indeed robed in majesty. You have put on strength as a belt. That you are the God of all creation, that this world is established even by the power of your word. It shall never be moved. We know that you are the one who has created all things out of nothing and into nothing, even by the word of your power, and that you are the great God of your sovereign providence that sustains all things, even as you uphold it again by your mighty word. And so it is we come to bow down and worship you this morning, the God of creation, the God of providence, and supremely the God of our great salvation. We thank you that as well as being a God of great majesty and power, of supreme and ultimate holiness and of splendor and glory. You are also the God of all grace and mercy. And so it is we give thanks this morning for your grace and mercy towards sinners like us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord, that as we confess our sins, as we would seek to do again this morning, as we confess our sins of word and thought and deed, we find you to be a God who forgives sins, a God who blots them out, who removes them as far as the east is from the west. And for this, we give you thanks. Lord, we confess all of our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our failures, and ask that you would not treat us as those sins truly deserve, but that you would forgive us for the sake of your Son, and that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our Father, then, we come with our prayers of thanksgiving. We thank you for all of your goodness and mercy to us. We thank you for all of your temporal gifts, for food upon our tables, for clean water to drink, for the shelter of our homes in this hot summer season. We thank you for the relative peace and security of our land. We thank you for the love of our family. We give you thanks for all of these good gifts. We thank you too for all of our spiritual blessings, that we find ourselves again seated together with Christ in the heavenly places. We thank you, O Lord, for grace that sustains us in the pilgrim way, even from day to day, that enables us to keep walking in that narrow and in that straight path that leads to everlasting life. Father, then we come with our prayers of intercession. We come to pray for this world in all of its need. We continue to pray for all of those trouble spots of the world where there is turmoil, upheaval, where there are those, O Lord, who suffer daily. We ask that you would have mercy upon them. We think too of our own land and pray, O Lord, that you might have mercy upon us. We pray for our leaders and for all those that you have placed in authority over us. We pray that in this time of unrest and in times, O Lord, of election season coming up, when there is many voices, those clamoring, O Lord, for positions of power and authority, we pray that you would have mercy upon us. We pray that you would humble men, those in office, those who desire office, that they might submit to your holy will, O Lord, and that they might seek to govern and administer according to righteousness and justice. Father, we pray for our own communities in these times of difficulty, in these times of continued pandemic. We pray, have mercy upon us. We pray, O Lord, in our own state here with wildfires raging across the state, have mercy upon us, we pray. We remember not only our leaders, but also our firefighters, our first responders, all of our communities, O Lord, who find themselves in great difficulty. We pray, O Lord, that you would sustain each one. We pray that you would enable our firefighters to gain the upper hand in containing the fires. We pray, O Lord, that you would restrain further outbreaks. We pray, O Lord, you who is sovereign over the climate and over the weather patterns, that you might grant relief. Have mercy upon us, we pray. And then, our Father, we do pray for ourselves as we are gathered here as a congregation. We ask that you would have mercy upon us. You know all of our needs. You know those of us, O Lord, who have had difficulties in this past week, who have had sorrows and sadness, who are undergoing trial and undergoing various perplexities. Have mercy upon us, we pray. We remember those who are away from our congregation and ask that you would have mercy upon them wherever they may be. We thank you that you are the one who is not restricted by time and space. We pray that you would be the portion of your people wherever they may be. And so, O Lord, we call upon you that you might help us and be with us, that you might see us in our great need, and that you might be the one who supplies all of that in which we stand in great need this morning. So hear our prayers, we pray. Forgive our sins, we ask, even as we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. And now for the consecutive reading of God's word in the New Testament, we turn this morning to the book of 2 Peter and chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and reading verses 12 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 12 through 21. Please give your careful attention as we read God's holy word. 2 Peter 1 at verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And thus far the reading of God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. And now, before we come to the preaching of God's word, let us again pray and seek his help. Our Father in heaven, we ask for your aid and assistance as we would come to hear the preaching of your word. We pray that you would open eyes to see. We pray that you would unstop deaf ears. We pray that you would illumine our minds and give us understanding. We pray that you would deliver us from all distractions. Hear us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Please now turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms and Psalm number 63. Psalm number 63. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Psalm 63 and reading at verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed, and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult. For the mouths of liars will be stopped. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. If you lost everything else in this world, and yet still had Jesus, and all the benefits of his great salvation, would you consider that you still possessed all things necessary for this life and the world to come? King David certainly thought so. The title or superscription to the psalm before us this morning, Psalm number 63, tells us that David was in the wilderness of Judah. It was probably written during the revolt of his son Absalom, which forced David to flee from Jerusalem into the barren Judean desert. It seemed he was about to lose everything. To lose his kingship, his reputation, and perhaps even his very life. Yet, David devoted his prayer to seeking God, finding satisfaction for his soul, and resolving to hold fast to the Lord's steadfast love that he describes as better than life itself. Verse 3. So what do we find here in Psalm 63? We find this. Here David was at a time in his life when it seemed he might lose everything in this world. But rather than complaining about his betrayal, David turned to God, rejoicing to know that the Lord is all he needed for this life and for eternity. We're going to think about four things this morning. First of all, we are going to think about seeking soul. Secondly, we're going to think about a satisfied soul. Thirdly, we're going to think about a secured soul. And then lastly, we are going to then consider what effect that had upon David himself, that God had promised him he would never be destroyed. So first of all then, we're going to think about a seeking soul. Verse 1. Psalm 63 here begins, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Psalm 63, verse 1. Now, using the picture here of intense thirst, David expresses his desire to experience the presence of God. He laments here not the danger to his political position, or even the threat to his physical life. But he laments here his forced separation from the sanctuary in Jerusalem, that place where God promised to manifest his presence under the old covenant. To be distant from the tabernacle in Jerusalem was spiritually to journey, as he says here, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Verse 1. David describes here the state of every single person since the fall of man into sin. Our problem is that without communion with God, we are lifeless, barren, dissatisfied. Alienated from God by our sin, we find life to be like that Judean desert, weary and dry. The Lord Jesus said of all the water of this world, but in particular as he saw that water in the well at Sychar in Samaria, John chapter 4, he said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. John 4, verse 13. But, he went on to say, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 4, at verse 14. Let me ask you, do you possess such a thirst for the triune God this morning? Do you desire to drink of that water of which only Jesus can give? Do you desire communion with the triune God of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you desire to know better the love of the Father? Do you seek a closer discipleship with Jesus, the Son? Do you crave a stronger experience of that indwelling of the Spirit of God promised to all who come to Christ in repentance and faith? One of the commentators puts it like this. He says, quote, as the Bible sees it, if we permit our desire for communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be crowded out by earthly priorities, we deeply impoverish our souls. End quote. Let me ask you, is your soul impoverished this morning because we are seeking primarily, perhaps even exclusively, these earthly priorities and desires? It is because our interest in spiritual things wanes that God often sends trials to the believer in order to draw them back. God often sends these trials into our lives, as David experienced here in Psalm 63. David's own son had rebelled, Absalom, and had driven him as a fugitive into the wilderness of Judea. David responded in the way that we should respond to trials, not merely wanting to recover our earthly blessings, those things that we have lost, but turning our hearts first and foremost anew to God in faith. The Christian should view times of struggle or sorrow as a call for a more careful attention to hearing God and his word, to the hearing and reading of the scriptures, to turning to prayer and seeking God earnestly as David did here, in the attendance on the means of grace, the corporate worship with the saints gathered together as the people of God. In this way, we see that our response to trials as Christians is a test of the sincerity and reality of our faith. In his parable of the soils, Jesus pointed out a certain kind of professing believer, one who rejoiced in good times, but when tribulation or persecution arose on account of the word of God, immediately he fell away. Matthew 13 at verse 21. The true believer, however, grows more fervent in faith during trials. He doesn't fall away because of tribulation or persecution. He can say with David, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Christian, can you say that this morning? Even if you're passing through trials and difficulties and sorrows, are they sent by God to draw you even closer to himself? Is that your experience this morning? Is your response to these things a test that you pass in terms of your sincerity and reality of faith in God? Rather than resenting these things, rather than them embittering your soul, do you seek after God even more earnestly? You are my God. I seek you. Well, that brings us in the second place to a satisfied soul, verses 2 through 5. A satisfied soul. When David sought God, he was quickly able to say that his soul found satisfaction. First of all, we see here how David fondly remembered his previous visits to the tabernacle to worship the Lord, verse 2. The tabernacle symbolically revealed who God is. God is holy, as seen in the shedding of blood for the remission of sin at the altar of sacrifice in the tabernacle. God was revealed in his mercy and grace as he made provision for his sinful people to dwell in his holy presence. David specifically mentions here God's power and glory, which were represented by the golden lampstand, the tabernacle of showbread, and the golden altar of incense, together with all of the other lavish decorations of the tabernacle, as well as the garments of the priests who served there. As we reflect upon that, we can see how Christians today possess an even greater revelation of God, of his great power and glory in his word, specifically in the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as what we call the inscripturated word, the Bible. We possess the greatest of God's revelation, the fullness and complete revelation of God, of his power and glory, of his saving purposes in his Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, we should be at least as excited about worshiping in the church today as David was under the old covenant. Let me ask you, are you at least as excited, as energized as David was here, as he thinks about the worship of God? As we hear the scriptures read and preached, as we have opportunity to see the gospel in the sacraments, the ordinances that the Lord has given to his church, baptism and the Lord's Supper, we look on God's glory and power as the one who alone is worthy to be praised. Now, as long as he was in exile, David was no longer able to worship at the tabernacle, but nevertheless he could still enjoy the blessing of God's presence. Thinking about what he had learned about God, he resolved to worship the Lord even in the desert of Judea, so that through his faith, even the wilderness here became spiritually fruitful and beneficial to him. David had sought the Lord here, and the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God had lifted up his spirits. Secondly here, David expressed his adoration for the Lord. Verse 3, your steadfast love is better than life. Now most people agree that life is precious as it is, as the great gift of God. But having come to know the Lord, David declares that God's love is worth more than even life itself. David here does not consider his own life to be his chief good. Rather, he prizes supremely the eternal blessing of God's faithful covenant mercy and love. That's why the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, Romans 8, verse 38, writes the following. He says, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so meditating on this great truth, that the love of God is better than life itself, David then rejoices, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. Verse 5. To the ancient Israelite, the fat portions represented the best and richest foods. David sees here the Lord's love and covenant faithfulness as a rich banquet from which he will derive pleasure and satisfaction for his soul. One of the commentators puts it like this: to believe in the saving work of Jesus, perceiving the loving heart of the Father who sent him and the loving hands of the Savior who bore our sins, is to be satisfied in the love of God in Christ Jesus. End quote. Now, the problem for many Christians today is that having sought satisfaction in the world, they have lost their appetite for spending time with God and delighting in him and his great covenant faithfulness. Perhaps you find it hard to motivate yourself to spend time with the Lord and to meditate on who he is and what he has done. But Psalm 63 promises that when we seek God by faith, our souls will be satisfied. We will eat the fat and rich portions from God's table. God promised through his prophet Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Let us not seek our satisfaction in these fleeting and temporary things of this world, things that may come and go in a moment, things that can never truly satisfy, but rather let us seek God earnestly. And let us seek his steadfast love, which is forever. And then our souls will be truly satisfied, as with fat and rich food. Thirdly, we see here, whenever a soul is satisfied in God's love, it will always want to praise the Lord, as we see in verse 4. As David's trials cast him upon the merciful love of God, he was not made sullen or bitter, but he was satisfied. Possessing only God, he was moved to praise the Lord, even if he lost everything else in this world. David realized, as we should, even here this morning, that it is God's gift of himself that truly matters, far above the lesser earthly gifts that even God might supply as his goodness and kindness. Having found satisfaction in God's love, David then cries, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. Verses 3 and 4. Is that what we've been using our lips for this week? To praise God, even if we have lost many things in this world. Do we lift up our hands to the praise of God this morning? Or have we been using our lips to complain, to become embittered through the things that we have experienced this morning, even in this past week? Do we lift up our hands in despair with all that is going on around us? If we know the Lord, even if we lose everything else, my lips will praise you. I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Well, that brings us in the third place to a secured soul in verses 6 through 8. Having sought for the Lord earnestly and found satisfaction in his presence, David resolves to secure himself to God in the future. Verse 8, my soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. The picture here is that of a child who reaches up to take his or her parent's hand, even as that parent reaches down to take hold of the child. The child then knows that they are secure in that strong and firm grip of the loving parent. David further illustrates this from his own experience, even in the night watches. He writes at verse 6, I will remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Now back in Psalm 55, we saw how David had set times of the day for prayer, including morning, noon, and evening. His faith was strengthened by this practice, so that he not only started the day by seeking after God, but then continued throughout the day and concluded the day by clinging to the Lord in prayerful meditation on God's word. The fruit of that earnest, daily, devotional life is seen in David's ability here to sing for joy, even during one of the greatest trials of his life. In the shadow of your wings, of the Lord's wings, he says he will sing for joy, verse 7. Through God's word, through meditating upon that word, particularly the great promises of God, and by praying in prayerful dependence upon the Lord, David here maintained communion with God, maintained that closeness to the Lord, and thus was strengthened. He found his satisfaction in God and in God alone. Now, if a man such as David found it necessary to cling to God in the dry and weary land of the Judean desert, in that place in which he found himself as a sojourner and stranger, outcast from Jerusalem, pursued by his rebellious son Absalom, how much more important is it for us to do the same in a culture that is often hostile to God, to his Christ, to his people, to the gospel truth, to godliness itself. And yet, even as we may find ourselves in the desert, pursued by God's enemies and ours, the Lord has given us his promise, never will I leave you nor forsake you. And so we should have no fear. We should trust ourselves to the Lord and his steadfast love. We learn from here, from David's example, to live close to the Lord, to seek him, to find satisfaction in him, to commune with him constantly, to read his word, to meditate upon it, to pray morning, noon, and night, so that we too might experience peace under his wings and rejoice in giving praise to his name. And that brings us in the fourth place to a protected soul, verses 9 through 11, a protected soul. When we seek the Lord in earnest faith, God promises not only to provide us with soul satisfaction, but also to take care of us on our way through life. When Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he went on to promise that all these things will then be added to you. Matthew 6 at verse 33. The same loving God who did not spare his own son, as Paul tells us, but gave him up for us all, will graciously give us all things. Romans 8 at verse 32. Paul also then wrote to the Philippians, Philippians 4 verse 19, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. David understood the revolt of his son Absalom in these terms. Those who seek to harm God's people will end up harming only themselves. Those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth, he writes, verse 9. Those who persist in assailing God's people shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals, David says, verse 10. This is precisely what happened to Absalom's army when they finally met in battle against David's supporters. We read of that in 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verses 1 through 18. David therefore ends up praising the Lord for his deliverance and the silence of those who mocked and ridiculed him. The Lord protected his soul. Verse 11 he says, "But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped." And so God's saving work not only satisfies the souls of his people, but also saves them and protects them from the enemies who would destroy them in this world. God was not promising or offering to David here a carefree, easy life, any more than the Bible promises such an easygoing existence to any believer today. But what God did promise David and promises to all believers is to keep our souls safe from deadly assault in this world and bring us safely at last through life to the glory that awaits us in heaven above. In Psalm 127 and verse 7 we read this, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." So let me ask you this morning, are you seeking after God, trusting in the promises of his word? If you are, then Jesus assures you of satisfaction in him. He invites you to ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Luke 11 verse 9. Perhaps as you look back over your life, you can see how you previously made the mistake of seeking satisfaction in the things of this world, in the dry and weary land where there is no water. If so, then turn anew this morning to the steadfast love that is better than life, which will satisfy your soul forever. But maybe you are one who is still in that weary land where you have been all of your life. You have never found satisfaction yet. You are just dry and weary. You find this world a barren place. Even as you sleep at night, you know that to be true day after day, even though you try your best to find satisfaction in this world. Perhaps you are one who is opposed to God, to his rule, the rule of his great king, the Lord Jesus Christ. You entirely reject the king's law. You despise God's freely offered love in his son, Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us again this morning that God will be exalted whether our hearts seek after him or not. Whether our hearts oppose and reject him, God will still be exalted. Christians, those who trust in the Lord, will be satisfied in his steadfast love. But those who reject God and his Son, Jesus Christ, will have their mouths stopped by his holy justice. David shows us here that if we turn and seek God, as he reveals himself, even in his mercy and grace, then we will find him to be gracious and merciful, and we will be satisfied completely and fully in his great King and Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will find in him all that we ever need. Even if we lose everything else in this world, even if we might be in those circumstances as David found himself in Psalm 63, we will gain everything and will be able to say, as David says here, O God, you are my God. Verse 1. He will satisfy us with his love, uphold us with his hand, and vindicate our names forever. And so if we are wise, we will seek him. We will pursue that love that is better than life. We will abandon trying to find satisfaction in ourselves or in anything else in this world. Would you do that this morning? Would you come and seek God, perhaps for the first time, knowing God's promise that never fails, that if you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him, and you will find his steadfast love to be better than life, and to be the great satisfaction of your soul for all the days that God has pointed you in this world and for all of eternity. May God so grant it. Amen. Let us all pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would help us even as we have heard your word. Deliver us from finding satisfaction from anything that we would seek in this world. We know, O Lord, that so often we think that this is achievable, but it is not. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would grant us to turn from the vain things of this world and to seek satisfaction only in yourself. Grant us no rest and peace until we can say that we seek after you and that we have found you in your Son, Jesus Christ, and to say that you are our God, and that we can say with David this morning that your steadfast love is better than life itself. Help us and hear us, even as we ask in Christ's name. Amen. And now let us sing to God's praise the doxology. Now, people of God, receive the Lord's blessing in his benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in the Lord's mercy and grace.